G'day, Don. How are you?
Hello, Annie, and g'day to all of your listeners.
Yeah, that Geoffrey Watson, what an interesting fellow. You know, they asked him a question. One of the questioners was, what do we do about it all? You know, I know it's a general question. And his one-line answer was, get better politicians.
Oh, right. Well, I think that falls short of the mark, actually.
Well, you think that we should be looking more at the left working against ignorance?
I think... yes, and I think we a better answer would be to is change the whole dynamic of democracy in a society, because one of the crises in our society at the moment is the crisis in parliamentary democracy, which does not mean to say that we should be opposed to parliamentary democracy, because it's based on something that's very precious, which is called universal suffrage. But getting better politicians should be lower level priority relative to improving and winning democratic, stronger democratic influence through all dimensions of life.
Yeah, I agree.
And not being dependent upon politicians.
Yeah, this top-down stuff, it's a bit like trickle-down economics, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can win. I've seen lots of people succeed in getting a better politician into Parliament. Only once they are bumped into Parliament, to use an old Australian song, the title of an old Australian song, they turn out to be not better for very long. I'm all for the defence of parliamentary democracy, but even more strongly for working out its limitations so that a more democratic structure of decision-making in the society that puts more power into the hands of the majority of the population, who are working people, is the way to go.
It was interesting.
So I see it slightly differently to that.
Yeah.
And that bears upon one of the things we're going to talk about today, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Proceed.
Yeah. Well, just about like everyone in Melbourne and in other parts of the country, I've been trying to work out just what the hell's been going on in terms of the construction industry and the protest that we've seen that started over a week ago, maybe it was 8 or 9 days rather than 7. Anyway, and of course I'm talking about the thuggery, the riotous thuggery that went on this week. And its origins the week before. I want to sort of sound a word of caution, because mainly I've been watching from afar, and I have been able to talk to some people who are closer to the action than I've been, because I've been one of the people who believes in the science and has been staying home.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you shouldn't underestimate the purpose and the power of massaging the message that is done through that viewing that you were involved in.
Well, I think that's right. That we I'm active in the Living Incomes for Everyone campaign, and we connected to a lot of other progressive and socialist activities, thinking and action, other deeds and so on. And I've been trying to work, what are the meaning of these events for those who are in the left, and especially the socialist left? What does it mean, especially this week's actions, for the future of mindfully militant unionism that we have not had enough of? Is it going to deplete it, or is it going to stimulate an escalated, improved focus upon it? I think the background to all this is worth thinking about, because there is a contextual situation that produces the behaviour, the thuggery that we've seen this week.
Well, there was an awful lot of grog involved there. There was an awful lot of grog, Don.
Was there a lot of grog involved?
Yeah. There was. It was a wash with it on the the Monday and Tuesday, with the day that they went to the Westgate Bridge. It was quite. It was a very
Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah. Some of the Some of the TV images showed that, actually. It showed that, I don't know how awash, but it showed a certain amount of it anyway. That's yeah,
slabs sure. of beer we're talking, rum and coke.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's, I mean, what is it that gives rise to that sort of form of protest, which is the very opposite to what Melbourne is really used to and familiar of, and is probably the leading, the city that is the leading exponent of in Australia. It's the opposite.
Well, it's interesting. I listened to, there's a couple of things that were expressed at a socialist alternative webinar last night, which is really hit home to me, which were that, one, that this shows that the right-wing fascists will be gleeful because they got some traction with the working class because they want to represent themselves as members of the working class when in actual fact they are aligned with the interests of the financial class, yeah. Which is...
I think that overall is fair enough. Mm. You see, this is all a product of what I call the age of crisis. That we, our modern times are really an age of crisis, and there are six probably overarching crises that intersect with each other. I'm not going to go into the great detail of them, but just list them off. Of course, we have an ecological crisis, which is highlighted by climate heating. We have a public health crisis. We have regular crises and continuing instability in between in how the economy works. We have, as we briefly discussed, a crisis in parliamentary democracy. And now we have escalating, because of the United States' government's requirements, the prospect of a crisis of peace in the Pacific. And finally, intersecting with all of these, there is actually a human relations crisis. And when I look at the last few days in particular, keeping in mind that 50% plus some of our population live in danger of domestic violence and sexual harassment in the workplace, on the streets, and at home. And the way in which events unfolded this week, not so much the week before, does not, I think, worries me enormously about the impact for women and children of the character of those events.
What do you think it was displaying male privilege?
Well, I
or toxic masculinity.
A lot of angry, violent young men, a number of them, as you pointed out, charged up with alcohol and possibly other crap as well. And so that's not good for, you know, the public sort of milieu is now. We have a question about whether these events are going to shape the safety, really.
Oh, the public performance. I mean, it's a bit like something I read this week on Jasta, which is a really fascinating web page about that highlights academic research, and yeah. One of them is this discussion about the Little Red Riding Hood motif. And how that Little Red Riding Hood motif is continued within the discourse about individual female protection tactics. It's up to the individual woman to protect herself by not going out at night or not going to, you know what I mean? Like it's the same trope that is actually developed in Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
So it's reinforcing it, really.
Women's organisations want to be able to lead in public manifestations, demonstrations, public meetings, etc., etc., to advance their understand, their experience, and what they want done about the issues of domestic violence and sexual harassment, and how those two intersect with each other, through, you know, our understanding of misogyny. But of course, most women's organisations that are champions of building better human relationships believe in the science of the pandemic. and therefore they cannot do a lot of the things that are necessary to mount a public understanding and determination to change the character of how people are relating to in Australian society these days.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, I mean, I have this overwhelming view of these people as bullies. They're bullying everybody into opening up. They're bullying people into letting them do a super spreader event. They're bullying everybody.
I think we've got to nuance that a little bit more. And a good way to start doing it, I suspect, is to separate the events of this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in particular, in which the organised buggery predominated, with what went on the previous week, and were probably the, you know, the sort of, for the opportunists amongst the leadership of the thugs to grab hold of. And that was, I think it was yesterday, week ago.
Oh, the tea party on the street.
The lunchroom tables on the streets of the CBD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there was no consultation. It all happened really quickly.
Well, I think that was I thought, what a creative tactic.
Mm, that's right.
Now, that did not originate with the leaders of organised thuggery.
No. It came from...
That originated in the thinking of construction workers and their reaction to having a imposed autocratic form of a vaccination program with a deadline that said no vaccine, no work.
That's right.
In which there is well-established lack of consultation with them and their representatives in the construction division of the CFMEU.
It's so a class difference, isn't it? There's a real class difference.
It's a big difference. And the challenge, I think, I mean, it was so impressive, actually, that I thought, wow, could that be applied in response to the call of school students for adult solidarity on October 15th, which is the next day of action against climate change? Could that action be a part of the contribution of the construction workers' union? By that, I mean not just the leadership of the union, but the membership of the union saying, well, we're going to do this. Now, of course, there are COVID restrictions to get in that, but I'm talking conceptually. Could that tactic be applied in solidarity with ambulance drivers, healthcare workers who are under enormous stress because of the pandemic and who are demanding much better conditions in which they can work in order to look after people who are ill to varying degrees because of COVID-19? Can it be applied to the really puny demonstrations that happen every now and again in front of the Fair Work Commission Exhibition Street in solidarity with low-income workers struggling to get a better living wage? That was where we were before Monday rolled in. And I think that was a very interesting development and really something for us, because it's mindful militancy.
Yeah, so what you're saying is a creative response was then suborned by another political agenda, which was a right-wing... They are right-wing fascists, basically.
Yes, of course. Of course. I think that's what I am saying, yes. And I do that knowing that I am, you know, I'm not in the thick of the action on a day. Like most of us, we can't be, because we accept the science.
And this we're staying home because there's a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is where, just think about this for a moment. Let's, you know, if you, Monday happens, right? And so you've got this 500 or 600 thugs, a certain number of them drunk. I listened to a wonderful First Nations woman confronting them, and God, they were so pathetic in response to her challenges.
Yeah, and the Aussie business, and also the Western civilization crap.
Yes, yes, all that stuff. But nevertheless, you see, the problem for us on the left, people in the Life campaign or the secondary school students or in our unions, is that we accept the science. We know enough about science because we've taken it seriously. And we have studied it in our own right.
Or as someone said to me, was we believe in the science because we can read. Or we do read.
I think that's a bit supercilious, actually.
But sorry. I be chastised. Go on. Someone else said that to me. So I just thought that was funny. That was a comedian said it, you see. A comedian did it. Oh, my! Right, our family stays inside because, you know, we believe in the science because we read.
Yeah, we read critically.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I'm just being rude.
And not obediently.
Yeah, and some people find reading difficult, so go on.
You see, that flows into, therefore, you know, the work of ambulance workers, paramedics, nurses, doctors, hospital cleaners, contact tracers.
Yeah.
These are all the people busting our guts, and it's all based on science, the development of scientific knowledge.
Well, that's one of the things that we got right, you know. There's lots of things humans don't do very well, but that's one thing we got right, you know.
Well, Marx's say is of course, that capitalism is contradictory. Of course, it generates multi-crises, as we have at the moment. But also within its development, there is the advancement of science for better and for worse. So it can produce the destructive power of nuclear weaponry and nuclear submarines. And at the same time, it can produce the profound efforts of ambulance workers and nurses and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
But we in the left, we've been prepared to sacrifice our normal means of political intervention. So consider this. Monday rolls around. In normal circumstances, for those people who accept the science, in normal circumstances, the next day, I have no doubt that the Victorian Trades Hall Council and the building industry unions could have put 3,000 disciplined, peaceful, but powerful construction workers in the streets to shut down the voices of the thuggery.
Mm.
But our belief in the science meant that we couldn't do it. The whole thing could have been over with a demonstration of democracy the very next day.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You're completely
what
right.
What we could have achieved, the police didn't. What the police could not achieve, and I bet you, subterranean, there are more people in flame because of the confrontation with the police, acting in the social interest, be it as they may, that is the police, but there are more people in flame. So the police have not been able to roll it back. They've been able to push it underground, and it will come back again, regrettably. But we, through democratic mindful militancy, could have poked it in the eye so powerfully that it wanders around even more blind than what it currently is.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. That's a perfect way to finish, because we're right up to the wire. You speak sense.
Yes, and remember, everybody, there is a school strike for climate on October the 15th. Who knows what the character of the restrictions will be at that time? But let's make sure that it is that we respond to their call for solidarity and make it big and powerful in the circumstances that we have to deal with. And Annie, there is so much more. I wish we could talk a little bit more about the deeply practical philosophic issues about freedom and individualism and individuality. I wish we could talk about
that. Well, all right, we'll do that next time.
I'd love to do that.
All right, that's
all the best to everybody.
That's a date. Okay, Don, talk to you later.
Bye for now.